Okay, perfect. So we're going to be talking about site performance, WordPress site performance, and a couple strategies for that. So what's the actual website? Is it the Dale Maxwell, or is there another one that you're using that's kind of the main site?
Dr. Kelly Enzymes, Dr. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, enzymes.com. I have a number of websites, but okay. that one's my site that does most of the product sales. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's taken 3 or 4 seconds to load, and it's sometimes longer. And I'm wanting to add on some more integration with following up on people and taking them through, you know, okay, they bought this product, now they should be buying this product. How do I, you know, take care of them better? And that's another plug-in.
Exactly. Okay. So have you done, without, obviously, I don't have access to see exactly what you've done on the site, but I'm just going to, have you done any sort of baselines for the performance at all on it?
Oh, yeah. The Google...
Page speed.
I did that. I went in and compressed all the images, you know. I've done as much as I could that I understand how to do. Some of the stuff, keeps telling me I should make my JavaScript.
Contentcate? Yeah, contentcate and defer scripts.
Yeah, defer scripts. But I couldn't figure out how to exactly defer things. So I'm still trying to learn that part.
So of the plugins, you've got WooCommerce running. What else do you have running?
WP Courseware.
Okay.
Let me pull up the page, because I have a real recent. I mean, I've been making changes and making backups and making changes and making.
Yes.
That's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
I know exactly what you mean. Okay, so there's WooCommerce, WP Courseware.
Yep. Let's see, Page Speed Insights. Let's see. Nope, the last
one. And whereabouts is this hosted?
It's on HostGator in a reseller account.
Okay. So you're not on a dedicated machine. But you have a reseller account that you can resell, and it's just the standard shared HostGator hosting.
Yes. And so I created a brand new one on that same thing, and I ran the page speed thing to get a baseline of how it would be on that server, basically, you know, without a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
To try and determine, okay, should I go spend, you know, an extra 50, 60, 70 bucks a month to get the speed up, and am I actually going to gain anything? Let me see if I've got another one that's very similar. Let's see if I've got that one. The CSS stuff needs to be fixed. That was the other thing I didn't quite understand. You know, I found where to optimize the CSS, but I didn't know how to grab the CSS.
Yeah.
So, let me get my right page up here. So,
and you have no caching plugins, right? Do you have any other sort of plugins for optimization running or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I have. It's going to be easier just to open the freaking plugin list. I have Comet Cache. Do you know that one?
Okay. Nope, never heard of that one.
Okay, well, it was two other names before that, and they kept getting in trouble with their naming. And so it was Zen Cache and whoever owns the other Zen, having to do with support, got all mad at them and threatened them, and they weren't big enough to fix it. To fight them, so they just changed their name. And then that one, they had trouble with that name. So now it's Comet Cash. And it's, you know, it's,
okay.
it seems to work well, except some of their, when I was doing my testing, they have different components that can be added to, you know, to the process.
Yeah.
And some of them made it so that it wasn't faster. So I turned those back off.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been doing the iterative, you know, test, change, changed for days
back and forth.
Yeah. Okay, so right now I have above the fold optimization.
Yeah.
I have add categories to post footer. I have add post pages. All of these do make little like 0.08 in the speed, you know.
Yeah.
The big ones that I've turned off, pretty much all the big ones, like compact auto audio player. That one was apparently sucking out the speed.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I use Infinite WP for updating.
Yeah.
I have a Max BlogPress Ninja affiliate on the site, and they pretty, as far as I can tell, they've gone out of business.
Yeah.
And so I need to change that one over to PrettyLink. But changing it over, I've got like 120 different forwards, you know, and it's a pain in the ass. So I also have installed P3 for checking. Do you know Paper Template?
Not familiar with it, no.
Okay. Well,
I
have that one installed, and that one I use pretty much all the time. Let's see. I have one called Remember Me Controls. Which
okay, so you got a whole bunch of stuff in there, right?
Yeah, crap load.
Okay.
Actually, this one has 53.
There's 53 separate plugins?
Yeah, just from WooCommerce, I've got like 10.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a whole bunch of extensions. I have lots on WooCommerce as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm talking about a site that I don't have access to, and going on what you've told me, I'll tell you what we normally do, and some of the things that we do to speed stuff up, and then you can kind of take it and either play around with it or you know take a look at what I'm going to say based on the tools that we use to analyze sites. So the Google page speed plugin is kind of a good, you know, it's one of the tools that we use. The other one that I use on a regular basis is GT Metrics. Do you know that one?
No.
Yeah. If you go to a site called GT Metrics, and it's Metrix, that's a free service. Yeah, and it does page speed. It also does the Yahoo Y Slow analysis, and it also does a waterfall. So it shows you a whole bunch of details in terms of your page speed score and your Y Slow score. So it combines the Google page speed with the Yahoo one, basically, and gives you some page details. And there's a couple things that kind of jump out just running the test on there, and you can go run the test on it. And before I start, in terms of plugins, obviously you want to try and keep the number of plugins to a minimum. Less plugins is generally better than more plugins. Okay? So
yes,
that's kind of a rule of thumb. The other thing to be aware of is if you have the option of having all of your content come from one location, one server, one URL,
mm-hmm.
versus having all of your content come from, and I'm talking about images, scripts, anything that shows up, if you have it coming from one place, one content, one server, one URL, that's preferable than having all of your content be amalgamated from 15 different sites.
Right.
Okay? And there's a reason for that, because what happens is before your page gets served, the first thing that the browser has to do is it has to do a DNS lookup to find out where the URLs are, right?
Yeah.
So each time there's a request that comes, let's say in your particular example, you've got Amazon ads on it?
Nope.
Yeah,
I do. I do. Those are things that I recommend specifically for people.
But I do.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm just giving an example. If you look at the GT metrics,
mm-hmm.
and you look, for example, at some of the requests and some of the ones that come up there, like, for example, for DNS entries,
mm-hmm.
I think you have each URL is a separate DNS request, right? So that means, for example, in yours, I'll just, right now you have 1, 2, 3, you maybe got 30 DNS lookups.
How do I control that?
You've got Food Safety Gov, you've got Provide Support, you've got Amazon Images, you've got YouTube, you've got SpeakPipe. You've got an image from Yahoo, you get Clicky, Google Tag Manager, Google APIs, Google Analytics, Cloudflare. So there, Google Syndicate, there's a whole bunch. So each of those require a DNS lookup, which is going to slow down the site. Okay, so that's kind of one that just kind of jumps out right away. There's a ton of content. The other thing that happens too is when you have these other services like Amazon and these other ones, if they're slow, you get slow. And that includes images and scripts, right?
Right.
So you want to try and minimize, in my opinion, you want to try and minimize the amount of external resources that are being called or requested. Okay? And these are things that you do before caching. So I know you said you had Comet Cache or something else on there.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, oh, my site is slow, so I have to get a caching plugin. And that's absolutely the worst thing to do. What you need to do is you optimize your site first, and then after it's as clean and as good as it's going to get, then you can worry about caching. Okay? So... in terms of requests, you've got on yours, I think it shows up, you got 83 requests on the homepage. 83 separate requests.
I went to that website that you mentioned, and I'm on there now, but I don't see this information.
Yeah, it says do a search and do drkellyenzymes.com.
Yeah, I've already done that.
Yeah, and go to the one that says why slow.
Okay, that's where I didn't know where to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's one Y slow.
Okay. And then reduce DNS lookup. I see.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that was there right away.
Okay. So how do I reduce DNS lookup?
Well, if you take a look at it, you'll see the number of plugins that you have. You'll see each of those plugins and different things that you're using, services, are all lookups for, you know, YouTube, SpeakPipe. You've got two separate analytics programs on. You've got GetClicky and you've got Google Analytics.
Right.
Like pick, you don't need both, right? Pick one, use one.
Okay.
And I don't know, you've got Google Syndication, Google Ad Services, Google Tag Manager, Google APIs, Google Analytics. You've got three components that are using more Google stuff, Google Tag Manager. And then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different lookups for Amazon, whether they be ads. You've got one for something Guardian, two components.
Yeah,
and then
Guardian.
So
I'm over four domains, but it doesn't tell me which ones of the groups are. See, I don't know how to word this. So there's like 15 things here and on four domains. How do I know which ones are grouped together so that I can
deal with? Yeah, so it's like Yeah, Amazon ones. These are just a number of DNS lookups, right? So they're still doing DNS lookups for all of them, but they're either getting answered by the Google DNS or the Amazon DNS or a couple of the other ones there. So all I'm saying is take a look at those and minimize the number, if you can, of these redundant sort of like the analytics one, for example. You don't need two analytics.
Okay.
So get rid of one and go through them and just see what is this actually for and do I really need it? Okay.
I have a follow-up question on that part. Sure. So some of these things are services that I'm providing because I think it's important for people, like the FDA one. Okay. Yep. If I move it to a page inside, will that reduce that lookup?
On that one, I don't know where is it. I don't know if it's a plugin you're using or is it just content or something that you're using.
It's just content.
It's just content. And is it on the homepage?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you move it, this page detail is just that homepage.
Mm-hmm.
This is the original homepage. So it's whatever's on that homepage. This is what's getting loaded.
Initially, if I focus on the homepage and move some of the stuff that I can to other places.
Yeah, you'll have a faster page load on the first page, which is the important one in most cases, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm making a note of that.
The thing is, like on yours, if you look at the page details, it's got your page load time is 11.3 seconds, which is twice what it should be.
Yep.
And that's partly because you're doing all of those different DNS lookups and stuff, taking time from all of these different files coming from all of these different places to be put on the homepage. The other thing is, if you look at the requests, you've got 83 requests. The average number is 70. So these are individual requests that the browser makes to different URLs to serve up this one page. So the fewer number of requests, the better.
Okay.
You want to try and minimize the number of requests.
Okay.
Okay. And then if you take you've already done actually some of the tools that you're doing are doing, there's two things. One is there's one called contentcation, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, and or minifying JavaScripts and CSS, and it looks like you're already doing it. And what that does is, a lot of times each different plugin, let's say WooCommerce has a thing for the shopping cart and you have your theme has a CSS for, you know, the way the page is displayed. And then you've got a plugin that does an opt-in box or something like that, or you've got live support. A lot of times each of them have an individual JavaScript or each of them have an individual CSS file that determines how that portion of the page is displayed, like what font, what color, what background, all of the CSS stuff. So what you want to do is you want to, and you've done it in this case, is you want to firstly put, instead of having 12 CSS individual scripts, what you can do is it's called minifying it, and it just puts it all into one CSS file. So if you had 10 CSS sort of entries, it would put all of those 10 files into one CSS file. So instead of the browser saying, okay, give me 10 individual files and 10 requests, it makes one request. Okay?
Do you have a document that explains how to actually execute that update so that it does
well,
that?
Well, yeah. I don't know what plugin that Comet one might have this already done in. I'll tell you the one the plugin that we recommend, and it's called wp-rocket.me, wp-rocket.me.
Okay.
And that is a plugin that instead of, like, there's all sorts of different plugins that generally will do little pieces of optimization.
Exactly.
But the WP Rocket one, instead of having 7 plugins that each do a thing individually, the WP Rocket one does a really good job of doing all of them in one place.
Okay.
And it also creates static pages in many cases, like cached pages.
Right.
And so instead of having a third-party caching service like, you know, like a CDN, a content delivery network, like very large hosts have, it basically creates a pre-rendered page. So instead of the web server having to go and do these 12 or 15 or 40 requests and then put the page together to display it, what happens is it creates a copy of the page as a sort of a static HTML file. So it just opens up one HTML file that has already prefetched and pre-rendered everything, which is a lot faster. Okay.
Yeah.
But
when you went to my website, you saw basically I let people in at the, here's the basic shopping list. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's calculating a bunch of stuff here. And so a better way would be to turn this into a static page and then
it doesn't necessarily have to be a static page, but you know, I would make it more of a landing page and maybe have, for example, instead of you've got a whole shopping cart on the front where you've got 12
yes.
items, three rows of four, right?
Yes, yes.
What you might want to do is do, you know, like do featured items.
Okay.
And don't use the shopping cart, but just use like three widgets or like three displays of, and I know WooCommerce has some plugins that do this as well, right? You know, mm-hmm. or a featured item this week or some kind of way to get people engaged in the site. Like if you know, for example, if someone is, and here's, this is kind of the challenge with all of these sites that are shopping carts, right? If I'm going to Amazon, I know I'm already going to buy something.
Right.
And I generally know what it is, right?
Right.
So if I go to that site, I want to get right into the shopping cart and start searching for what I already know I just want a price on and I want to buy. If I'm looking and I'm searching for, you know, cancer cures or, organic cancer cures or something like that, and your site comes up, I have no idea who Dr. Kelly is. I have no idea why enzymes are important. Mm-hmm. Unless I already know who Dr. Kelly is and I'm looking specifically for his solution, right? So my suggestion is that, you know, you want to make sure that it's like you don't, you know, I always use the example of asking someone to marry you. You know, Amazon is on its last date. It's down on one knee, but you're on your first date and you're already asking them to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they want to hold hands first and maybe go out a couple times before they say, yes, here's my money.
Okay.
Or here's my hand, put the ring on it. So I think, you know, you might want to consider this front page anyway, just to be a little more of a rapport building, interest capturing, kind of get people started into the process than going directly to the shopping cart. Again, personal suggestion, that's something you got to kind of decide on. And you know, if Dr. Kelly Enzymes is where you send people after you've captured an email address, or they already know who Dr. Kelly is, then obviously that doesn't apply. You know, if this is your hub and this is the only purpose of this site is to sell specifically these enzymes, then I would still kind of minimize on the front page the whole shopping cart, maybe do some, you know, this today or this week's featured, you know, solution or something like that, to see if you can get people's interest or attention. And that'll do a couple things. One is that it's going to minimize the number of requests and how long the page takes to load, because you're not taking from the database 12 different items, right?
Right.
With the shopping cart. Because each time that shopping cart generates that grid, it's got to go to the database and pick up the tables.
Right.
Which takes some time, as opposed to, you know, here's one image in a slider, or here's one product image and a brief description of it and a button to the shop.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's certainly easy enough for me to test that and see if the speed improves and see if my stick rate's better and all that stuff. So, I can do that.
But and the other thing is, like, that you've done well is that you've got it does look like the the JavaScript, the CSS is at the top where it's supposed to be, so that it doesn't have to wait for the whole page to load before it gets what it looks like. So that's correct. Duplicate JavaScript and CSS is done, and you do have the JavaScript at the bottom, which is correct.
Okay.
So those parts are all, those parts are all well done. There's another thing called entity tags or ET tags, and that's a server one. I wouldn't really get too hung up on that one. It gives an F, but it doesn't really make a big difference, in my opinion, on the performance of the site. The big one is the make fewer HTTP requests. It says This page has 30 external scripts.
Okay, well, I understand. I can certainly stop that by making the front page a different approach.
Yeah.
Because as you can see on the side there, I've got stuff going to Amazon. I've got the government list of food recalls. I've got it just goes on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. So I would, if your front page you're worried about, that's what I would try and work on, is to get that page load time down, and it'll minimize requests. But the page size, the page size is under a meg, which is, that's a good size. That's half of what normally pages are. So you're in good shape in terms of the size. It's just a number of requests, and I think it's because of where they're coming from.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
The other thing that just to ask is, the other thing you can ask HostGator to enable is gzip. That's the server one, and it zips up some files that it sends to make them a bit smaller. You can ask them just to turn it on, enable gzip.
Okay.
But the expire headers, those ones are, it looks like it's all the third-party ones that are giving that issue. So, it's giving you an F in the grading, but I don't think it's really going to make that much of a difference. And if you look at your score, you've still got a B for page speed score and a C for Y slow. And I think if you pick up that the load time and the requests, you'll find the Y slow will get close to an A, and the page speed score will get close to an A.
Okay.
Does that help at all?
Yeah. Can I put analytics not on the main, on the entry page? So that I don't look,
yeah,
so
well,
I don't
why
fire
do
all
both?
Those?
Why do you use both?
Well, the clicky one, I get different reports from them. Okay.
Yeah.
So clicky, I get an email that tells me, okay, this is how many happened, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. So I don't know. I'd pay for clicky. I could take clicky off and cancel it if you think that the Google.
Well, I would just pick one. I don't think, I personally don't even use Get Google Analytics on the site because I don't understand the reports half the time.
Well, that's...
like Pig Latin, trying to look at the reports, like you need a doctorate to figure out what the heck is going on with that. So that's my personal, I use one called PWIC, which is an open source one. And I use that on all my sites, which has nice clean reports. And the one thing that I was always worried about was that if you don't use Google Analytics, does Google kind of penalize you?
Right, exactly.
And I was told no by a number of people that I respect that are big on the analytics side. So, I'm okay with that. But I don't generally read the stuff, the Google Analytics. I don't enable it.
Okay.
James?
Yeah.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Good. I've been listening. So I've had it on mute just so you know I'm on also.
Okay. Did you have a question at all about this, or we're just talking about optimizing the site? Any other questions about that before I go on to another one?
Well, it was obviously an issue for me when, so many of my graphics were going to flicker. And, so loading up was a problem there. So we solved that. And, you know, you and your team are very helpful, obviously.
Oh, thank you.
Just
for reference, because we're recording this, the site in question is called lookupdetroit.com, which is a news site where news stories. And on the front page, kind of the same issue, there was a huge sidebar that was filled with images, but the images were from Flickr. So what was happening was if Yahoo was slow, the site was slow. So we actually changed the images to not come from Flickr, but to come from the media library right on the site. So it was reducing the number of lookups, reducing the number of scripts, and the page got quite a bit faster. So same
Every article has a graphic on it, and even before I was seeing that, you know, we were grabbing, you know, images from all over Kingdom Come, and we solved that problem. But then this sidebar thing that just had kind of a mosaic of local pictures, and I like the way your guys set it up so it does change every time, which I think is very nice.
Random. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who's got questions? Any more questions? Anything goes. It's WordPress. Ask me anything. Don't be afraid. No questions?
No, I've got the website. Now you're online again, right? You've had some internet problems this morning.
Roger was out in most of southern Ontario this morning for like 6 hours, so we had nothing at the office here, but we're back online now. So
good. I've got this website, JesusQuestion.com. Maybe you'll look at that for a moment.
Sure. It's not Jesus Question?
No, it's not.
Mr. Trump wouldn't call it that.
Now I need to set up where the, you know, the each post is also, you know, going to, you know, the Facebook, you know, page also. But
oh, okay. So you need to make sure that anytime that you post something, that it's getting also published to social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
And the best way to. The best way to do that, why don't you talk about the best way to do that on any
Sure. Yeah, and actually I'm going to send out a graphic I put together yesterday. And here's a little tip for anyone who's actually trying to explain stuff with infographics. One of the things that I have an Office 365 subscription, which includes, you know, PowerPoint, the new version of PowerPoint. And one of the things that most people don't realize is that PowerPoint has some really great infographics and infographic tools built right into it. And they're basically ready to go to show processes or, you know, all sorts. There's hundreds of different types of charts and graphs and different ways to represent information in PowerPoint. And they're all free templates that you can use. So I did one up yesterday because I was trying to think of people were just sort of falling and not getting the basic process of, you know, what happens with your blog and what's the process that you kind of go through. So I'll post that a little bit later today, the image, and I'll talk about it just briefly because it refers to what you're talking about with posting some content. And here's what normally happens with people who are blogging is they will, you know, get their blog set up, and they have an interest in a particular subject matter, and they will, you know, post a blog post. And oftentimes what they'll do is once they posted it, they'll actually go and they'll post it, and then they'll take a link to it, and they'll go to Facebook, and then they'll say, oh, here's my brand new post, and they'll put a link to the post, or they'll go to Twitter and do the same thing, and they'll go to all of the social media places individually to make that let everyone know that they've just posted something on their blog in the hope that they're going to come back and look at the post. So one of the things that I highly recommend is that when you have your blog set up, you either use a third-party service or a WordPress plugin, and I'll give you two to write down, that automatically post any content from your WordPress blog. It automatically posts the excerpt of the article, the featured image of the article, and it posts it to all of the social media networks so that you don't have to go to them individually and worry about, you know, did I post it to Facebook? Did I post it to my Facebook page? Did I post it to the groups that I'm in? Did I tweet about it? Did I add the image to Pinterest? Did I update my Google Plus? So that, you know, there's tons of different social networks, but you want to automate every post that you make. You want to make sure that it gets out to the social media posts, bringing people back to your site. So you've got links that are back to your site just so that they're going to come back to your WordPress, your blog, so that you can start engaging them in any kind of sales process. So the three kind of main traffic pieces that you want to think of is the organic traffic, which is just search traffic that you get from your content, and think about content marketing traffic. The second one is paid traffic, and the third one is what I call social traffic. And social traffic is automating your distribution of your blog posts to the social media networks. So there's a couple tools that I recommend, and I'll talk about the ones that go on your WordPress site itself as plugins. And the first one is called Snap, and it's Social Network Auto Post. So if you go to the WordPress.org plugin site and you type in Social Network Auto Post or Snap, you'll see the plugin. They have a free version and a paid version. And if I'm not mistaken, the free version does Facebook pages, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And it allows you to hook up a Facebook page or pages and your Facebook personal profile and a Twitter account and your LinkedIn account. And you can have it set up so that every time you make a post, it will automatically post to those social media networks for you with the excerpt of your blog post and the featured image and a link back to the actual blog post. So that one's called Snap. So you post on your WordPress site and then forget about it. You don't have to do anything after that. It just gets sent out automatically, and that's a free plugin. You have a paid plugin that extends that to some additional social media networks like Google Plus, I believe, LinkedIn pages, as opposed to just your LinkedIn profile, and multiple Twitter accounts, I think, and some other ones as well. The other one that I use is a plugin for WordPress as well that's free. It's called OnlyWire. And then what OnlyWire has is that it's technically a third-party service. So if you go to onlywire.com, you'll see that service. And what it does is when you have their free plugin installed on your site, you can have it automatically post up to 50 different networks. So that means there's a huge listing of networks. So it's basically all of them except Instagram right now. And I think Instagram's being added, but Instagram until recently didn't allow third-party posting. Now they do, and it just hasn't been updated at OnlyWire yet. But you can do Facebook groups, Facebook pages, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, places like even things like, I was just trying to think of some of the, not Reddit, but one similar to Reddit. There's just 54 of them, I think 54 or 55 different networks that you can post to. And it works exactly the same way. You make a post on your WordPress site, it automatically posts to all of those social networks. And that's the one that I use, is OnlyWire. So those are kind of two that are built in to WordPress. The other one I'm going to talk about is when you're using WordPress, everyone has a theme that they use. Please be very, very careful when you're choosing your theme and using your theme, because many of the themes allow you to select the title, description, and the image that's used in social media posts. So let's say, for example, you do a blog post and you've got an image And the image is kind of your default standard WordPress blog image that you use all of the time on your site. And that's the featured image for a post. Well, you may not want to have that same featured image be the one that shows up on Facebook or Google Plus or LinkedIn. So many themes allow you to change not only the description and the title of a post, but also the image that gets associated when you post that exact same post to the social media networks. So just make sure that, you know, I ran into this before. It's like our theme, if I didn't add this to each post, what happens is it took the very, very first image on the page, which was our logo. And the logo, it only got half of the logo. So every time I posted something to the social media networks with a service, it would use only the part of the logo as the featured image in the social media post, which looked ugly. So make sure your theme either supports it or understand how your theme works with those plugins. After that, the other two or three to look at is there's one, a new one called Meet Edgar, MeetEdgar.com. And that is similar to what's Hootsuite. And these are third-party services that allow you to take your RSS feed from your blog and auto-post it to the social media networks and schedule them moving forward. So Hootsuite, Meet Edgar. There's another one called Buffer. And there's another one that I mentioned last week, which I'll talk about, another plugin, just because it's kind of a good one for Twitter, is called WP to Twitter. And what that plugin does is it automatically, you can set it up to automatically post to Twitter, to your Twitter account. It just takes a random post from your site, and you can set it to do once a day, once an hour, once a week, whatever you want. But it'll actually just take a post and post it to Twitter with a link back to the post, which is just a great way of keeping your, you know, keeping up some activity on your Twitter account without you having to make a post like Kim Kardashian every hour.
Give me that again.
That's WP to Twitter. WP to Twitter, and it's a free plugin.
Okay.
And that one's especially, that would work very well for you, Richard, because you've got, like, if you've got only 12 posts on your site, then that plugin's not really a great fit for you. But
right.
You're doing like two or three stories a day, right?
Well, you're talking about on the Lookup Detroit site, or?
Yeah. Even on the, well, on the Lookup Detroit one, you've got lots of stuff, but even if you've got 100 posts or something, you know, you have a post twice a day. That means every 50 days, you've got a tweet going out.
Yeah.
Every 50 days, you've got your whole site has been out tweeted out. And you know what? Let it run. Even if you only have 100, people aren't going to remember what they read 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
Sure. No, absolutely. I'm thinking it'd be really good for the Jesus Question site because I have so much content way back there. I have, you know, hundreds of posts that aren't time sensitive. You know, the Lookup Detroit thing, some of them are time sensitive, and it wouldn't make sense to have them randomly posted, you know. So,
That was a good one. For the Jesus Question, that would be an excellent choice.
Yeah, I think it would be. Okay, I'm looking at my GT metrics on Jesus Question. It took five seconds to load. It gives me an E on page speed score, gives me a D on Y slow score, and it gives me a whole bunch of B's and A's that are in green, but then the JavaScript, an F, serve scaled images. You know, I need to kind of clean that up, I guess. You know,
absolutely.
Specify image dimensions.
Yep.
So if
that's,
I click
down. I'm just going to look that one up as well.
Yeah.
Let's see what it says. Fetching site. The page speed, if you're under 6 seconds, that's good though.
Right. Okay.
You've got Yeah, there we go. Okay. Analyzing with page speed. There it is. And here comes Y slow. Yeah, you've got images there, and again, that depending on the theme and how you get those images set up, you want to make sure that the images are smushed, made as small as possible. And in some of them, yeah, we got there. Yeah, deferring of JavaScript. Specify image, minify CSS. Yeah, it's just a couple. The image ones are the ones that are the issues there.
So that there's a plugin for that that'll take it down. Probably using it on the other site.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of them. One of them is the following images are resized in HTML. Serving scale could reduce 1.3 megabytes. So what happens is, let's say, for example, you upload a picture that you use on a post, and the picture you took on your very expensive Canon or Minolta camera, and the image is 3 feet wide by 2 feet wide because it's a really expensive camera, and it's an 8 megabyte size image, and you want to use it on a 100 by 100 thumbnail image on your site. So what happens is, a lot of times people will upload the big huge image, and when they upload it to the media library, depending on your theme, it usually makes 3 or sometimes 4 copies of the actual image. So it'll make a thumbnail, a small, a medium, and the large, for example, and the original. And those ones, it'll actually make 4 copies of the picture. So it doesn't resize them, it just makes 4 copies. But if for some reason you have a post, and let's say you used an image that was not added normally through WordPress, it was just maybe in an images folder, and it was that huge 8 megabit picture. If you have that picture on the front page as a thumbnail, what has to happen is it has to download the entire picture, and then it has to resize it. The browser has to resize it to get it to show up as a thumbnail. So instead of having a 30K image, you now have an 8 megabit size image that's being resized to make it small. And that's what that's talking about, serving scaled images. So on that one, I don't know where necessarily that all the images are from, but it looks like some of them are not resized. So there's a couple plugins that help with that. There's one that's from wpmudev.org, which is called, it's also on the WordPress directory and the WordPress plugin directory. It's called Smush It, I think, WP Smush. And then there's a pro version, and that minimizes or reduces the image size. And then there's another one called, what the heck is the name of that one? There's another one, and I'll add it in the post when I put the copy of this audio up. It actually goes through your entire library and resizes and makes sure that your images are all sized properly. Okay, so you want to be careful with those ones. You've got a whole bunch of those that are quite large.
Yeah, but the list isn't huge.
No.
One other question, and then I'll open it up here. When you said posting to LinkedIn, taking your posts and putting them on LinkedIn, I don't think of LinkedIn at all to do that. That doesn't even register to me. Like, LinkedIn seems to me like just a profile of yourself. I don't use LinkedIn. I have LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. But I'm just interested, how would you put posts in, and why would you put posts in more than how?
That's an excellent question. And if LinkedIn is more than just the profile. There's a lot more to LinkedIn than the profile. You can actually have pages in LinkedIn. You can have pages just like you have in Facebook, where you have a Facebook page, not a group, but you have a page for your company or your service or whatever you're promoting or involved in. And the other thing is, there's also a place where you can post articles in LinkedIn. So they have an article service, and I'm just trying to bring it. I think it's called Instant Articles. Can't remember the name of it. So you can actually post to there. If you're writing an article, for example, on your site that you're doing as a regular article, you can actually have it show up as an article. Where's the contacts? Companies learning. Just trying to look for the page. I'll put an update on that one as one, but there is a place for articles on LinkedIn, and you can post that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not just a this is all about me. Like, if you go and you look at LinkedIn and you go to the main LinkedIn homepage, you'll see that there's publish a post right there.
Okay, that's a whole new thinking to me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, obviously, it's got to be you want to think it's a good fit for what you're doing, but they have the homepage in LinkedIn. There's a place right there for publish a post, upload a photo, share an update. So it's very much like any of the other social networks, giving you the opportunity to share what you're doing or up to.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Who else got a question? Got a couple more minutes for a question. Did everyone leave? Is anyone left?
Just the two of us. Can you imagine?
Okay. I'll hang up then. How's that? No, I won't hang up. What I'll do is I'll turn off the recording here for now, and then we can chat some more. How's that?
Yep.
I didn't leave. I just muted.